Welcome, gentlemen, don't get caught. Podcast about the music of REM. I am Lynn, and I'm here in spirit and internet with Alistair. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for that wonderful intro, Lynn. What are we doing here this time?
We're discussing our thoughts about the album Monster.
Good. So I did prepare for the right thing then.
I think so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I should have told you it was New Adventures in Hi-Fi or something and got ahead of ourselves, but...
Just being like, you have to summarize it, even though you've only done a few listens through and haven't gathered your thoughts.
Exactly.
The nightmares come true once again. No.
Once again.
Yeah, so I have a list of questions that is customary to ask.
I can't remember some of them, so I might not be able to.
Okay, I won't. I'm just going to do them in order because I think if I try to just like
throw you
a curveball by going out of order, I would probably trip myself up. So let's not do that. My plans to humiliate my co-host have failed and turned back on me. I would never do that anyway. I don't think so. Probably not. Yeah, anyway. Right, so first off then, favourite song?
Let Me In.
Okay, that was unequivocal.
Yeah, it's brilliant, even if it is very depressing.
Yes.
I think it's great.
That's an interesting choice, because, like, musically, it seems like it's the most awkward.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It is a little awkward, but I guess it's one of those things where like the lyrics and the music just sort of marry in a way that I find very engaging, and it's quite fuzzy. I don't like a bit of fuzz.
As we have established.
But no, I think it's really like emotive in a way that sort of connects somehow. I don't know, that's a bit vague.
No, I see where you're coming from. I mean, I don't know how I would feel about the song if I didn't know what and who it was about.
Yeah.
But because once you know that, that never goes away.
No.
So it does give it, I think you were saying, like an emotional heft.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I discussed on the episode, like I think it was one I tended to skip, but I guess I do that less often now out of respect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
What about you?
So you're probably just going to be like, what? but I think it's Circus Envy.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me as much as it sounded like you thought it might. But yeah.
Well, I think because we obviously had the discussion of the song.
Of course.
I think if we hadn't had that pre-discussion and I hadn't enthused about it as much as I did... Based on what you said at the beginning of that episode, I think you were a little bit surprised how much I liked it. But
yeah.
I just like thumpiness. It's thumpy and kind of catchy, and then it also has just aggressive levels of distortion that like feel like they're constantly trying to derail it into being something that's a bit more like avant-garde-y in terms of its amount of noise, but it never quite does it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that people would count them as like properly avant-garde, but there's like, I don't know if you're familiar with Fugazi at all, Lynn, but they're a band they would do tracks that were like largely feedback, which aren't always the most fun to listen to, but are atmospheric. And this doesn't quite go into that territory, but it just kind of like brings that extra, you know, flavor to it, which makes it interesting. But yeah, do you have, like, runners-up?
Do I have runners-up? Not really in, like, sort of ranked order.
Mm.
So I guess no is the answer, particularly. I think just because Let Me In was a standout, but...
Okay, so it's winning by a country mile.
It is, but I think as we'll discuss when we talk about our least interesting tracks, there's not really that much on this album I particularly dislike.
Okay. See, I had the opposite experience. Like, I'm not even sure that I would... definitively, like if you ask me in a month and said what's your favorite track on Monster, I could give you a different answer, because I think I've got four that I think of as being contenders.
Oh, what are the others then?
So I like I Took Your Name
lot.
Bang and Blame is great, and Crush with Eyeliner, all great. I think they're all the like the rockier tracks, but
yes,
I just think. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much my general thoughts, but Like, they're just bringing a lot of swagger and confidence to those kind of songs, and it really comes through. Okay, so from favourites to the logical next question, least favourite, least interesting, most skippable.
This was much more difficult,
which
I think I mean that in a positive way.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
it reflects the general quality on this album is really pretty good.
Mm.
You know, rather than the negative way of they were all terrible, like in December.
Which one did I have the most?
I think the other thing surprised
for?
Me because I think coming into this, there were mainly like, apart from obviously What's Room to Kenneth, just it's a very well-known song.
Mm.
But I'd say maybe Strange Currencies and Let Me In were the two that I was like thinking of really when we started listening to this album. And now I think maybe Strange Currencies is the least interesting song on this album.
Aha. Okay.
I found it really hard to say, like, this is my least favourite song on this album.
Mm.
Just because I found it really hard to, like, pin down something and be like, I don't really like this.
Mm.
But I think maybe Strange Currencies is the least interesting.
Okay. Well, I also have that as one of my contenders for least favourite. Mm-hmm. But I also have Star 69.
Yeah, for similar reasons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would say Star 69 kind of gets away with it for being quite short.
Yes.
Although, even though being quite short, it still manages to be kind of repetitive in a way that gets old very mm-hmm. fast. So at least it does if I'm concentrating on the song to kind of evaluate it. Like, if I'm just listening to the album through and I'm not giving it that specific song my full undivided attention, it's fine. And I would say the same for Strange Currencies. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting album versus individual song effect. Yeah. It's like, to what extent is an album a whole piece of art? Discuss. Yeah. Type of thing. And I think both of those songs, you know, like, removed from their context, they're a bit weak, but they work well where they are. And I will say more on this as we go on. But yeah, my next question then is, do you have specific favorite musical moments? So it can be
again, I felt like it was hard to pick out really specific ones.
Mm.
But I think this is another strong album with a lot of great intros.
Yeah.
And a lot of songs where the great intro just becomes like the main theme of the song.
Mm.
Like you were saying about some of your favourite songs, like Crush with Eyeliner has a great intro, I Took Your Name. Even like Let Me In starts quite strong and just sort of carries on that thing. So some of the rockier, if that's the right term, the kind of rockier intros, I think, are probably my favourite moments. Like a lot of really like songs really start out well, especially on an album like this where I generally found it difficult to like grasp the lyrics or to remember the lyrics or
yeah.
It just didn't, there's not that much in a sort of lyrical kind of way that I found very memorable, but there's a lot of really sort of engaging music stuff going on.
Cool. Okay. So what I have then for this one is like the sort of somewhat unconnected, like jam at the end of Bang and Blame.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of goes into this sort of slightly trippy thing, and it's I just love it. I would like listen to a whole like three minutes of them just doing that and kind of like just varying it up a bit. I can see just kind of like, yeah, spacing out to that and enjoying it. The other thing is also like the swirling like tremolo effect drenched feedback at the beginning of Crush with Eyeliner. This is the way like it swirls and just kind of builds some tension and then the song kicks in. It's just like, that is good. That is a good intro. I like. So those are my two musical moments. Right, so we've kind of touched on this quite a bit in your previous answer, but any lyrics that are either favourites or stuff that you were able to dredge up? For the record, I found this really hard as well.
Me too. I'm just looking at my little box on my notes for favourite lyrics. It's just like, yeah, I guess the most obvious things I think of are like just the bits on Let Me In that are quite evocative. Even just that opening line, there's like the stars drip down like butter and like promises sleep and stuff. It's like really sets the mood, I guess. But yeah, and just you can just shout, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?"
Yeah, I remember reading somewhere that that was something that, like, it was just something that one of them, like, misheard. They thought that somebody said that, and they didn't, but it was just, like, it sounded cool. Yeah, speaking of which, like, as I said, found it really hard to come up with, but one of the lines in What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Is, "You wore a shirt of violent green." Just because it's a little bit mysterious, like, what a violent green, what shade of green would be considered violent? Is it bright? Is it like a very kind of...
Yeah, I would have assumed it's bright, but who knows?
Yeah, so, but I do not know about colours. I know the basic ones, but like when you get into shades, I'm just like, nope, that's not a thing that I really understand. The one that sticks with me, I wouldn't say it's a favourite lyric, but it's certainly one that's memorable, just because it's, like, very forward, again. It is the line, "I'd settle for a cup of coffee, but you know what I really need. Wink, 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 wink." Sexy style.
It's quite a forward album. It's, like, a weirdly sexy album.
I was going to bring that up. Like, okay, so we can just move into our feelings as a whole about the album.
It's not that I think of R.E.M. as like a sexless band, but I don't think of them as a particularly...
Not particularly horny.
No.
They're not the Rolling Stones.
No, exactly. But yeah, this album is definitely the sexiest, I think, that we've encountered so far.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, is it me or are... R.E.M. getting hornier since they became famous? Because, like, on the last album was their, like, really big album, and that had Starmy Kitten, which is pretty, like, full-on raunchy. I mean, it's not exactly Prince, but that's no. the other, like, purveyor of filth. But yeah, I don't think of R.E.M. as being like, oh yeah, they're a sexy band. But yeah, this album is, there's quite a lot of that kind of stuff about. It's a bit different. Yeah, there is a lot of that on this album, which is, yeah, it's, as I say, it's different. I'm not adding anything new. You can just cut that out. but besides the horniness, how else would you describe this album?
Fuzzy,
yeah, that's a tremolo-y.
Yeah.
It's Peter Buck. It's like, hey, I can make my guitar make wavy noises, and I'm going to do it all the time.
If you want to spin that in a way that sounds more positive, or concretely positive, to say, like, it's richer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of texture.
Musically, yeah. A lot of texture.
Yeah, yeah. And just overall, it feels like a very cohesive album. I mean, I like how grungy it is, because grunge is like... I feel like if I'd actually been at the right age when grunge happened, I wouldn't have appreciated it, because my personality is like, that's popular. I know, like. because I'm... especially when I was a teenager, I had that contrarian tendency. It was just like, everyone else thinks it's good, that means it must be stupid. So it would have been wasted on me. But like, yeah, I like that kind of period of music, even though there's not like a ton of bands from that period that I like. The ones that I do like, I like a lot of their stuff. So I kind of like R.E.M. because they weren't a grunge band, they were before that, but they, like, them kind of like sort of turning up that side of themselves, to kind of, as that was like the prevailing mood. So that's cool. I don't know about you, but I feel like this is like one of the most albumy albums they've done.
Yeah, it's certainly very consistent tonally.
Yeah. I know I've complained a bit about Strange Currencies not being that interesting, and I think also when we were talking about it, I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this. But in terms of the album as a whole, I feel like they play an important role of just differentiating it a bit and like modulating the mood as you go through, because otherwise it would just be like a wall of kind of rock noise, which would get samey if it wasn't punctuated that way. But like, I love how rocky it is, but I also like that they have there's some dynamics across the runtime. So that is good. I think in terms of their whole catalog so far, I would say this and Murmur are the most like albumy in the sense of like all the whole package, like having a very like recognizable like production feel. I mean, I kind of feel like with Murmur, that was probably a thing of just it being like on a kind of micro budget.
It's just come full circle.
Yeah, this is their huge, but it's also like they've just got certain settings that they're just sticking to. Whereas I feel, and now we're moving into the next question, which is how does it compare with Automatic for the People? I have some thoughts, but I don't
know.
Go
on, please, carry on first.
Yeah, so what I have is just like this feels much more cohesive, whereas Automatic for the People, like, I mean, the songs do work well together, but it feels like it's a much more like wide-ranging collection of different things. And Out of Time also has quite a feel of being like, here's a bunch of things we tried, which is also good. But this is kind of like, this is designed to be like, this set of songs goes with each other. Like, I feel like Automatic for the People and Out of Time, like, you could mix and match songs around and I don't think I mean, because I know the albums, I would know that it was different, but I wouldn't go, this is massively out of place.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like if you were to take anything, probably anything from those two albums and stick it in the middle of this, it would be kind of like, this doesn't fit.
Yeah, it would feel strange.
So that's my thoughts on like how it compares. I like it more, but also, that is, as I've just said, there's a certain amount of me that's like, everyone else says this is the best one, so I'm going to be a contrarian. So I'm automatically going to mark this one higher for not being as successful.
I think the stuff I like the most is on Automatic for the People, I think.
Okay.
But it might just be a case of like higher highs and lower lows or something. Like, I think this album is more consistent, both musically and probably maybe even like quality wise or so something, whatever.
Artistically almost.
Yeah, even. Artistically. Although I think if I had to pick like which my favourite individual tracks, they would be on Automatic for People. Yeah, I think that's how I feel about it. But
yeah, I mean, now that you're saying that, I think I would tend to agree. Like if I were to just like rank a top five tracks out of the two albums, then yeah, I suspect Automatic for the People would have more entries. But like if I was going to give like this each song an average rating,
yeah,
this would possibly do better. I mean, that said, the stuff I really like on Automatic for the People is great.
I feel like it might be like there'd be four or five tracks on Automatic for the People, so like half the album of Automatic People and then all of Monster and then the other half of Automatic for the People.
Yeah. I Automatic for the People is really struggling on its average because I'm giving Everybody Hurts a like spite rating of like 0.5, which I think is actually way harsher than it deserves. I think it was just like, why does a song like this crass become a mega hit?
Yeah, there is definitely a resentfulness to it being like because of how huge it was.
Yeah, and I also feel in a weird way I feel like it's unfair on REM that that's one of their most famous songs.
Yes.
It's like you're like being famous for something that's a bit crap.
Yeah, even compared to like their other really famous songs like Losing My Religion or whatever. But Losing My Religion is such a great song.
Right.
Especially
right.
compared to Everybody Has.
Yeah.
But they...
Yeah. And the thing is, Losing My Religion was so famous that and I'm sure I said this when we discussed it, I massively undervalued it for years because I was just like, oh yeah, I know it's a popular song, therefore bad.
Yeah, it's weird.
Me and my teenage contrarian ways when I'm quite a lot of years out of being that age. Okay, so final question then. Where would you say Monster ranks in the overall REM pantheon?
Ooh.
Does it even belong in the REM pantheon? Or
well, it's got to. It's got to. It's got to, if nothing else, for the sake of this podcast. This just gets harder the more albums we do. It gets more complicated the more albums we do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say about 2/3 of the way up.
Okay.
Whatever that ends up being.
Where what? Yeah.
I'm losing track now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Does that make it like 4th or something out of the albums?
Maybe.
Like that.
I can't remember how many albums we've done, Lynn.
No,
I can't count. Not this time of night or any time of night. Or any time, just counting. I just don't like it. That's the delegate. I delegate counting to others. Yeah, in terms of my ranking, I would say very similar. It's definitely my favorite of the 90s so far, of the three 90s ones we've done. But I would say, and maybe I'm not being consistent here, but I would say my favorites so far have been Reckoning and Life's Rich Pageant.
Okay.
It's definitely better than Green.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And yeah, I think it's like narrowly beating the two, like, I was going to say the two monster hits, which the two gigantic hit albums that preceded it. I feel like it edges it out.
Ooh, okay.
But as we were saying in the previous, in the comparison with Automatic for the People, like, maybe its individual songs aren't as good, but it just hangs together so well. I feel like this is an album that I will just stick on and play all the way through, whereas those other two, I'm much more likely to skip things that I don't appreciate. Whereas this, yeah, not skipping tracks, I'm just playing it through. And those are my thoughts.
Cool.
Do you have any closing remarks?
No, I was just going to say, next time we start on New Adventures in Hi-Fi, the last album with the complete R.A.M. lineup.
Oh, right. I was going to say, I couldn't quite remember at what point. Yeah, they become a trio.
Yeah, no, apparently there was a lot of involvement from all of them for Up, but strictly just the three of them on Up.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so New Adventures Hi-Fi, yeah, the last complete one. Fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Onward!
No, there's some great tracks in here.
I went a total different way with my outro mood than you did.
It's fine. We like
it's gonna
to
be a nightmare
it
to
up.
Edit. Nightmare.
It's fine. Cool. So join us next time, and thank you for joining us very much for Monster. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Turn on narrator. Toggle switch on.
GDGCpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm gonna try that again.